Today we are concluding a two-week mini-series called Us Versus Them. Last week we reflected on how our country is so obviously divided and how people can tribally retreat into forums and groups who share their own viewpoint. If we live in our infamous Christian bubble, to avoid those who think and who live differently to us, we cannot live missionally. So we turn to John's Gospel, which reveals that us and them aren't so different after all. All men and women are created by the Word, by the Logos, by Jesus Christ. All humanity finds their origins and their purposes and indeed their life in Him. This should be in our minds as we think about missional living. Just this week, President Trump said that four Democrat congresswomen should go back to where they came from. This kind of talk creates division and hatred. As people who have read John chapter 1 last week, we would say something quite different, wouldn't we? Rather than saying that people should go back to where they came from, we should instead say that all come from the same place. All people, all men and women, come from the same mind and the same plan and the same purpose of our Creator, Jesus Christ. I think it's this kind of talk which is going to be spreading unity and love in our world. I'd like to spend a few moments just thinking about the wonderful celebrations this week of the moon landing and how, obviously, it was before my time. But for some of you, you may remember seeing the moon landing on TV. One of my friend's mums posted a photo on Facebook yesterday of her and her little sister sat in front of this tiny little screen in the corner of their room watching all the events that took place those 50 years ago. But although we may look back to that time with great thankfulness and gratitude for this wonderful event that took place, we need to remember that it took place within the context of the Cold War. That really, in the middle of the Cold War, where there was this great strife and division between the USA and the former USSR, there were great battles between them to show who was supreme. We see it in nuclear arms, we see it in the arms race, but we also see it in the space race as well. And I think there's no doubt that this competition between these two global powers at the time, this competition between them really pushed one another on to make strides in the space race. And so it is out of something quite negative in that aspect that so much progress took place. And competition between rivals can sometimes bring out the best out of one another. If you maybe think about your favourite sports team, if they do well in the league, well, for most of us, our team probably isn't doing well in the league. But if you think of a team that is doing well in the league, they are probably being spurned on by other teams that are greatly improving. Teams need competition in order to bring out the best of themselves. And we could also say the same in the political arena, couldn't we? Where really to have a good, functioning, purposeful political party, it needs some good opposition to be keeping those standards high. So we need competition in order to have progress. But also progress can come through not competing with one another, but also through complementing and through partnering with one another as well. And I think that has been shown quite recently on TV as they've shown the changes that are being made in space exploration. Just a program that I was watching the other night was speaking about how NASA is no longer just working by itself in terms of its mission, but is working with other companies such as Boeing to be able to progress their mission and their aim. They realize, NASA realize, that they don't have the funding and they don't have the expertise to be able to accomplish all that they want to by themselves, and so they have to collaborate with others. So what you see on the screen here is the Starliner. And the top bit, the module, is being created by Boeing. And they're going to be sticking this module onto this massive rocket, which belongs to NASA. And between the two of them, they are going to be able to take more and more people to the International Space Station. It's that collaboration which will bring progress. And just as a bit of an aside, really, to celebrate 50 years since the moon landing, yesterday three astronauts went up into space. They went to the International Space Station. And it wasn't three American astronauts going together, or three Russians, but it was actually an American and a Russian and an Italian. It was these three countries coming together, holding hands together, like what we were doing earlier on, as a picture of peace and as a picture of partnership, of what can be done when groups come together. I'm sure back in 69, they couldn't have imagined an astronaut and a cosmonaut going up into space together for the same purpose. But it's a really wonderful thing. Here at church, we also need to be thinking about how we can be partnering with others as well to be progressive in the mission that God has put in front of us. But sometimes we can find that difficult. It's very well known about how some churches fall out, some churches don't talk together, or where churches where they do mingle together through churches together or something like that. Sometimes it can be a very tame attempt to be partnering together. But it is an area in which we can all struggle, including myself. I think back to just yesterday. We had Messy Church yesterday in the hall. And as we were clearing up, we had one of the mums who had come along with her three children come and ask me whether she could help clean up with me. I was clearing up some lettuce and tomato and all this kind of stuff off various chairs and off the floor and everything like that. And this mum wanted to help. But my first thought, and therefore, unfortunately, the first thing that came out of my mouth was, no, don't worry, that's fine. I've got it sorted, but thank you very much. My perspective was very much of me wanting to serve and me wanting her to receive. And therefore, for her to be offering to help went against the grain of what was in my thinking and in my believing. Of course, what I should have done was I should have said, yes, please do help. Now, it wouldn't have made the whole process of cleaning up that much quicker. It did seem to be particularly messy yesterday, and we were here for ages. But if I had invited her to partner with me in something as simple and as basic as clearing up some mess, then maybe through that clearing up, we could have had a really good conversation together. Instead, in what I said, pushed us apart from one another. And it was an opportunity missed. And you can tell that it's still kind of playing on my mind. Unfortunately, it's not the first time that I've done that, or the first time that I've realized it, but we're all a work in progress, aren't we? But so often, as Christians, our focus can be on getting them over the line, of getting them, not yet believers, coming to believe the the gospel, saying the sinner's prayer so that they get their ticket to heaven, so that they'll be allowed through the pearly gates. That can be our objective with them. But really, that's the wrong attitude, isn't it? That's a very small attitude for us to be having. Because instead, rather than just trying to get other people over the line so they can go to heaven, rather our focus should be, how in this life can we be building partnerships which will create a closeness and an intimacy and great conversations where we're not just getting people saved, getting people into heaven, but we can get people in this life to be partnering together and to be fulfilling God's mission here on earth. So I want us to be thinking about how we can be ridding ourselves of us and them, this great division, so that we can desire to partner with all people. I'm going to be doing the Bible reading this morning, and I'm going to be reading from the book of Genesis. Last week I said that we can glean so much from the opening chapters of Genesis. Some people will just dismiss it or think that half the Christian world have interpreted it wrong and they've got it right, and therefore we just move on. But in fact, we can learn so much about the original purposes of God when we turn to the book of Genesis. So I'm going to be reading from Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through to 31. Then God said, "Let us make human beings in our image to be like us. They will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the wild animals on the earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground." So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and govern it. Reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and all the animals that scurry along the ground." Then God said, "Look, I have given you every seed-bearing plant throughout the earth and all the fruit trees for your food. And I've given every green plant as food for all the wild animals, the birds in the sky, and the small animals that scurry along the ground. Everything that has life." And that is what happened. Then God looked over all he had made, and he saw that it was very good. And evening passed, and morning came, marking the sixth day. As we read those verses early on in chapter 1, some people get incredibly excited about some of the words that are used. They love this phrase in particular. Then God said, "Let us make human beings in our image to be like us." People often get very excited because they think, oh look, right in the beginning, we're reading about the Trinity. So for those who struggle to believe the Trinity, there are particular groups in our world who would reject perhaps the Son of God being divine or something along those lines. They can say, look, right at the beginning of the Bible, we can say that God is multiple persons. God is triune. There's a lot of debate as to what us and what our actually means in this context. From my own understanding of it, it's not so much talking about plurality, but rather talking about fullness. In this aspect, perhaps God isn't being described as three persons, but just as if there's just one person here, it'd be pretty empty. As there are multiple people here, there is a fullness about us this morning. And in the same way, God is describing himself as full. But we also have this wonderful gift of the New Testament. And the New Testament gives us new eyes, it gives us new glasses, it gives us new lens in which to see the Old Testament. And it's a principle first came up by St. Augustine in the 4th century, who said that we can read New Testament into the Old Testament. We don't need that is an encouraging thing to do. And so therefore, when we look at this verse, although really in the Hebrew it's talking about fullness, we can say that our triune God is evident right from the beginning, right in creation. And we have many verses which back that up. There is one God, the Father, by whom all things were created. We have this verse from last week. God created everything through him, through the Word, through the Logos, through the Son of God, through Jesus Christ. And we also have this other verse. The Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. We see Father, Son, and Spirit all involved in that original creation. And we really have this promise that all three are involved in every aspect of creation that has taken place ever since. And what that leads us on to is this beautiful picture of something that we call perichoresis, something that I've spoken about before. Peri meaning circle, choresis meaning dancing, this wonderful circular dance of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. As the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit come together in the wonder and in the beauty and of the love of the Trinity, they dwell within one another. They love one another. They express different things to one another. But another aspect of that is that within this wonderful dance, there is this arm that has been stretched out. There is this hand which has been stretched out, where people are invited to partner in this wonderful dance. And that makes a lot of sense when we think about us being made in the image of God. That within this wonderful perichoretic trinity of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as they dwell within one another, as they partner with one another, as they want to extend a hand and an arm and a love to humanity to join in with what this wonderful Trinity is doing in creating, it is quite right that we have been made in the image of a perichoretic God. Otherwise, it would literally be an us of the Trinity and a them of us, if that kind of makes any sense at all. We would be separate. We wouldn't have this togetherness. We wouldn't have this common thread. But through God's wonderful grace, we can share in this wonderful circular dance of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That means there is a calling on each of our lives to be joining in with what God is doing. Just as the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit create, so they invite us to join in with creating wonderful things. And just if we just think about the space race, we can think, which was 50 years ago, just the incredible creative powers of humanity. And that comes from God. But also we see in our scripture this morning that not only does Trinitarian God create, but he also cares as well. And so we have that wonderful challenge for us to be caring for the creation just as God does. Men and women were designed by God to procreate. When I put together a PowerPoint, I'm normally just Googling keywords and find an appropriate image. It wasn't great when I had to type in procreate into Google. Thankfully, my filters were on, so nothing too bad came through, but that's the image I've got for that. But it's this idea that God wants to partner further than with just the original people on this earth. That within Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, he extends a hand out to Adam. He extends a hand out to Eve. But he wants to be continuously extending that hand out to other people as well. That everyone who is going to fill the earth is going to be part in God's work of partnering. And so we have this wonderful picture of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit extending a hand to the original people on earth. And the challenge of those original people is to then be extending their arms out, just like what we were doing earlier on, to be including other people in this wonderful act of dancing, of creating, of caring for our world. These people that God has created in his image to be creative, to be caring, to be partnering with God are blessed by God. We have a typical understanding of being blessed, which is to be given a gift. And in that sense, the original men and women on this earth were blessed with prosperity, were provided for in many different ways, and had the were blessed with children as well. But not only does blessed mean the gift, being given a gift, but it also means being able to function well. God did not just bless them for the sake of it. God did not just bless them because he thought it'd be a good idea, but God blessed these original people so that they could be a blessing to others, which we read about in Genesis 12 through Abraham. And we have this wonderful blessing, which is for the function of expanding the earth and expanding that creation, expanding that care of the earth as well. And what does God say about all that he has made? He describes it as very good. He could have said that what he had seen was great. He could have said it's incredible. He could have said it was marvelous. Instead, he uses good, or in this instance, very good. And it seems as if he's kind of underplaying all of these wonderful things that he has done. But in fact, good in this sense is not an emotional thought, but rather it's showing that there is a good function and a good order to what he has made. That within his goodness of Father, Son, and Spirit, of including partnership, of creating people in his own image so that they could partner with him, so they could create with him, so that they could care with him, so that they could multiply the earth, increase this partnership and wonder and goodness across the earth. This is all functioning very well. This has a good order to it. We see what happens with almost on the next page of our Bibles. We see that there is division amongst these original people. We see that blame is given when things start to go wrong. And within the next chapter or two, we see that even there is the strife, the family breakdown, no communication, and even murder. What had gone so right, what was so good, what functioned so well, what was so well ordered at the beginning, so quickly fell apart because of the nature of the human heart. But what does God keep on doing? He keeps on blessing. Just as there was this original verse that God blessed these original people, no matter what these people do in their lives, God will continue to bless them. God will continue to be working in these people, continuing to bring that functioning, continue to keep bringing that order, keep bringing that promise of blessing. And we see that, don't we? We see that as we read about the genealogies in Scripture, of how God doesn't give up on anyone, but that he keeps on blessing throughout the generations to the point where we are here today, because God partnered with those original people and those arms have all been stretched out to us today. What does all of that mean? That means that we can have a wonderful joy in our Trinitarian God, that he has created all things and all people. He has created all people in his image. Why? Because he wants to partner with all of us. We see that God's purpose of creation, and even God's purpose of sending Jesus to earth to die on the cross for our sins, to be raised to life again so that we can have new life in him, all of it wasn't just to get us over the line. All of it and all of this isn't just to try and get us our ticket to heaven. Religion can so quickly and so easily limit everything and our understanding to earth is bad, heaven is good. It's not like that. And God has clearly demonstrated that in the scriptures. So if God's purpose for us is bigger than just getting us to heaven, then we need to make sure that we don't limit our evangelism and our witness and our testimony just to try and get people over the line and try and get as many people into heaven as well. God's ultimate purpose is to be restoring his creation through his wonderful care. He's reached out his hand to each of us, so it's our duty with our other hand to be reaching out to others. It is good for us to be sharing the gospel message so that people can have peace with God. But we need to go beyond just sharing that basic, simple good news which we put our trust in. We also need to be explaining and sharing, but also showing people that God's restoring work is through partnering with him. I think that is truly what is going to excite people. You can give peace to someone by saying that your sins can be forgiven if you turn to Christ. But you can excite people if you say, we are on this wonderful mission, this wonderful journey, and we really need you and your mindset and your gifting to be joining in with what we, and ultimately with what God is doing on earth. So let's be mindful to be involving all people in all of our acts of mercy and even in our outreach as well. I know that next time we're doing Messy Church and someone offers to help, I need to think, yes, please do help. Teresa's excellent at it. I'm awful at it. I've got a long way to go in this, and to get it into myself, to be involving other people, to be partnering with us, because they will see the exciting things that God is doing if they're with us. If we just turn them away and say, we've got it sorted, we're fine, don't you worry, how are they ever going to see the wonderful work of God in their lives? May we dispel the us and them tags that we can give to ourselves and to others. And as God's creation, and as God's image bearers, may we partner together in God's work of restoration, of his creation, and of his care of the whole earth. Amen. I invite you to close your eyes, and we'll just spend a moment in the quiet, just reflecting on our passage this morning.